Okay, we're ready to turn her over to the main wrangler.
Oh.
I think we got our pads on, so you can tell us what comes next.
Okay, let me have that for a second. Andy, can you find in the garden back there the words to that? I'm going to ask you guys, we're going to need to turn me down a little bit. I'm a little bit too muffled, too loud. Can you hear me all right? Okay. All right. I want to tell you, I was at a cowboy camp meeting that I was speaking and singing at, Melva and I, and we sang this song in the garden, and I didn't bring my guitar, so we'll be good. But at the end of it, Bill Wampler jumps up and he says, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. You got to sing it the cowboy way." Now, I didn't know there was a cowboy way to sing in the garden. But there is, and we'll show you. Melva, come on up and help me with this. We're singing Acapulco. Now, I've been fighting a cold all day, so if there's anything wrong, it's all because of that. Did we find it? Yeah, you did. No, you didn't. Okay. Oh. By the way, Sheriff, this year I fight forest fires, as you know. And this year we put together a first responders banquet and appreciation day in Gunnison. This is a hint, pastors. We had 100 first responders from Gunnison and Crested Butte. We had a nice dinner. We shared. We prayed over every one of them. We gave them firefighter devotionals and police devotionals and Bibles. And we just want to tell you how much we appreciate you guys. Every time, now listen, you guys, every time you hear a siren or you see an officer or a fire truck on the side of a road, you pray for them. You pray for them. I did some law enforcement for the Forest Service, and I never knew what I was walking up to. And there's a danger out there, and you pray for their wives, right, Julie? You pray for their families. All right, did we get it? We did. We got it. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear falling on my Son of God, disclose there. You guys are beautiful. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. Now, I'm going to teach you the cowboy part of it. We get to that last of the chorus, and he ropes with me, and he rides with me. The next part goes, and he ranches with me, and he rodeos with me. All right, so let's just go to the chorus, okay? And he ropes with me, and he rides with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And he rodeos and ranches, and he rodeos with me, and he ranches with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Yeehaw! Yeehaw! Yee-haw! Andy, can we bring these lights up, please, sir? Thank you. All right.
Hey, Rick, well, I've got one little Wrangler. Just one little Wrangler. Little Mr. V-Hill, Tobias, would you come here?
Yeah.
Tobias, come here. He's been working on this all the time.
Really?
He's got something. He wants to show everybody what we do in Awana Club.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Tobias, okay, what are we going to do tonight?
I'm going to say the books of the New Testament.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's give her a go. Okay, guys? Here he goes.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Galatians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Jude, Revelation, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeehaw. Very good.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, how do you follow that?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Well, that works, too. And he tells me I'm not alone. Yeah. Amen. Well, man, this is exciting. What a good bunch of kids and adults and parents and good stuff. I think we're going to get after it tonight. First day, we talked about becoming a Super Bowl Christian. We talked about that meant, first of all, you had to become part of the team. And we talked about what it meant to give your life to Jesus Christ. Because if you haven't done that yet, nothing else really matters. I told you, maybe you remember, I talked about how I had gone to church all my life. I was in college. I was working for the Forest Service, teaching, skiing, doing all these things. And yet, it wasn't quite there. Until somebody told me about asking Jesus to forgive my sins, trust him to do it because of his death on the cross in my place, and then turn my whole life. And that meant giving up control of my life. That meant skiing was no longer my God. Forest Service was no longer my God. But Jesus Christ would take over all of it. And he did. And he sent me back as a missionary to ski instructors and forest firefighters. God has a great way of doing things, giving you love. The second session we talked about, do you remember that? We talked about what? What's that? For practice, showing up. Acts 2:42, they committed, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Those four things, showing up. I'm ready to learn, Father. I want to learn, Jesus, how to follow you. And that was the second one. Last night, we had a great night as well. We were over with Celebrate Recover over at First Christian, and we were there, and we talked about what? Putting on the pads. You don't want to go into a football game without pads on. You don't want to. You need your helmet of salvation, your loins girded about with truth, your feet shod with the willingness to go and share Christ, your breastplate of righteousness, your shield of
faith,
and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we talked about that. So then tonight, I almost changed the title of this to Riding for the Brand or Saddle Up. In fact, there's a great ministry we work with called Saddle Up for Jesus. But I'm not going to change it totally. I'm going to keep it a Super Bowl Christian has to take the field. But if you think about it, when I go ride a horse, when I go help my rancher friends move cows, I have to saddle up to do it. You know, you can be a great dime store cowboy. You know what I'm saying? You can talk the talk. You can buy the boots. You can wear the hat. I mean, you know, you can look how that partner been back on the back range.
been checking it out, looking for a few strays. But until I get on a horse, you don't know if I have any idea. You know, I was thinking tonight, do you know what a half hitch is? Yeah, it's where you take a whole hitch and you cut it in half. I mean, you won't know till I get on a horse if I can ride. And you don't know if your Christian life is really real until you live it, until you saddle up. It's okay to wear a uniform on the sidelines. I taught Tom Landry, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, to ski one year. And I've had friends that have been professional football players that I've skied with. But you know what? You don't know they are until you see them in action. Well, what about us? I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 11. And I really appreciate the young man that shared about the books of the Bible. That's so important, to learn your own Bible. Get used to using it. Now, I've got to be honest with you, brother. First time I was teaching a Bible study, and I looked out, and these guys were all, and I said, what are you doing, texting in the middle of my sermon? No, they're looking it up. Remember our YouVersion Bible? We're encouraging everybody. It's a free app. You can get it online. You can find every day. You wake up in the morning, and you'll look, and there is a great verse for you to dwell on. The Word of God. All right. So chapter 4, starting with verse 11. And he, Jesus, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed about here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and not by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. Now remember, those two have to go together. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, now pay attention here, it's really careful, this is important here, from whom the whole body, being fitted together and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. All right, so now we're going to unpack that for a few moments here. I put down three things in my notes. These are very simple notes. See how complicated that is? I have to be simple. First of all, he talks about coaches. He says, I want to tell you about some coaches. He said, Jesus Christ gave some people to the body of Christ, to the church, as gifts. Did you know that? Just like Sheriff McGee is a gift to the community, your pastors and leaders are gifts to the church. He said he gave some as apostles. Now, apostles, that Greek word literally means those sent out. The Hebrew form of that means missionary. Certain people are called by God and given to the body of Christ to go out and start new work. They're to go out and establish. They're to go. We have a girl from our ministry. She graduated from, was in our ministry when she was in high school and then went to college and went on. She is in the most dangerous parts of Jackson, Mississippi, inner city, working with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and she's been there for years. She goes, they tell me, where no other Christian worker would dare to go. She is a sent out one. She is a gift to the body of Christ. Apostles, prophets, those who speak forth the word of God. Now, we're not talking about new words of God. We're not saying, oh, we got new Bible here. No, but those who are called especially to have a direct word from God. And then there's evangelists. An evangelist is a good news bearer. An evangelist is someone who comes out and shares the good news of Jesus Christ and helps people come to know the Savior. That's their special gift. And they're given as a gift to the church. And then the pastors and teachers, those who come in and teach us and shepherd us, they're under shepherds to Jesus. And they're there to help us and to nurture us, because he says, and they're given to us for the equipping of the saints to service. Now, who's a saint? Well, in the Bible, those who are holy ones, those who are sanctified, those who have been born again, filled with the Spirit of God and set apart to Christ. That should be you and me. That should be you and me. Can you imagine that? That's amazing. Saint Eric. Go figure. Saint, you know, God wants, but we're to be equipped. When you joined that football team, when you went out to work on the ranch, you didn't know squat. I mean, you may have thought you did, right? We see these football players all the time. They were, well, I'll tell you about a guy named Team Blair, we called him in high school. Team Blair. Every track meet he entered, he won every event he entered. He never practiced. He never was coached. He just had natural talent. Just disgusting how he could do that. Team Blair. But when he got to college, he fell flat on his face. Because he'd never learned to train. He'd never been coached. He always just went on his own. The saints, we're given men and women of God to train and equip us. But we have to be coachable. We have to be coachable. Are you coachable? You know, we'd like to think so, wouldn't we? But what happens when your coach comes and says, you know what? This happened to me running chainsaws. My boss came over one day and said, Barton, you're the weirdest chainsaw cutter I've ever seen in my life. He was such a sensitive, gentle guy. And I'd crossed my hands. I'm left-handed. And so when I was running that saw, I had it kind of awkward. He said, you can't control that saw. If you hit something tough in that wood and it kicks back, you can't control that saw. Now, I said, I've been cutting for 5 years. I know what I'm doing. I cut a tree this big one time. Hit my car with it, but you know what I mean. I thought my old pride just reared up. Was that coachable? Not at that point. He said, if you're going to go on fires and use a chainsaw, you're going to have to do it the other way. You're going to have to do it a safer way. You're going to have to go with one of your coworkers who's going to train you. And I'm going, thankfully, the Lord says, shut up and listen. And I went and I got recertified as a sawyer. Are you trainable? When God sends somebody, one of your leaders to you and says, hey, we need to look at this. Are you willing to listen or do you stick in your heels and go, pfft? A friend of mine was a steer wrestler, a national finals guy. Really great steer wrestler. But you know when he trained people, you know what they do? They put them on this steer head and a rope, and they pull you, and you've got to be like this. And this, then what they wrote in the back of that steer head? The guy on, Jesus loves you, but the guy on the other side of this horse is going to try to kill you. Because you're like this, and you're trying to learn how, and they're pulling you. It's hard work to be trained, but if you humble yourself, you can learn. So the pastors and the teachers and evangelists, they're there to help us learn. But now notice the second part. What's the purpose in all that? Well, they're to help us learn. They're to equip us. Oh, by the way, did you know we don't just hire them to do the work for us? You know, I've run into a lot of Christians who think we hire a pastor or a priest And you go get them. Yeah. When some young guy comes out to work on your ranchette, does that mean you're a cowboy yet? Maybe not. Somebody comes out to work on your ranch, you don't just, they don't just sit there and go, wow, that's great. Go on. Go on. Do it again. Oh, that's great. What do they do with you? They show you how, and then they say what? Come on. Get on the horse. Get on the horse. We're to do the work of service. Do you know that God has given each one of us, who when we came to Christ, when the Holy Spirit came inside of us, a special gift to be used for everybody's good? Notice what the rest of this passage down in here. Go down a little further, brother. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. When's that going to happen? When we go home to be with Jesus. That's about the time. When he comes back or we go there. Get it, guys? We're still in process. We're still learning. But look what he says next. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness. We talked last night about how the devil is a schemer. He wants to get us distracted so quick, doesn't he? I was studying this afternoon, and I came across three words that apply in here. The first word is immaturity. If you and I aren't trained and aren't willing to get in the saddle, aren't willing to get up on the horse, aren't willing to go out on the field, we're always going to be immature. You know, there's people who have been Christians for 50 years that are still immature. They're still drinking milk. They still have never got in there with both feet and learned to serve and love God. Never have. They're still at this baby level when they first accepted Christ. Immaturity, the second word that he had there that hit me was instability. They're never settled. I have guys do this to me all the time. Pastor, you're the only one that really preaches the word. You're the only church in town that really has it right. You're the only one. But you know what they do in 3 weeks? They find another one. And they come to that guy, and guess what they say? Pastor, you're that. They do this to you. They're unstable. They have no foundation. They've never been trained. They're out there on the football field going, where we go next? Who's got the ball? What am I doing? You know, when I ride out and I go to move some cows with a friend of mine, does it matter where I go when I go to gather cattle? Why would it matter? Why can't I just go, da-dum, 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 da-dum? What? I'll get lost, number one. Number two, I'm not moving the cattle in the right direction half the time. I'm wandering. That's the way it is for a Christian who's not willing to be trained. You see, the pastor teachers are there to equip you, but if you don't stay long enough to get trained. The third word was gullibility. If you're not stable in Christ, in your body, doing your part, you're going to fall for anything that comes along. You ever see the stuff on TV? If you buy my product, you'll lose 20 pounds this week. All your hair will grow back. Oh, you got it. We're always looking for quick fixes. And if you're not stable in God's word and stable in his body of believers, if you're not committed and serving and getting in the saddle, you're going to fall for anything that comes along. I see it all the time. People come to church and say, oh, Brother Rick, I went to this conference last week and it was so exciting. And we all learned that we all have to do this and this and this and this. And then the next week, Brother Rick, I went to this other conference and we... I got a good friend of mine in Gunnison who for 6-7 years has been with us, and he's always having marriage problems. He's always having financial problems, but he won't stay put. He's in our church 1 week. He's in another church the next. He's over here. Then he misses church for 4 or 5 weeks. Then he's back. Till we all grow up. Grow up. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Now, and to him, when I grow up, I want to grow up to be like who? Like Jesus. I don't want to grow up, and I don't want any of you to grow up to be like Pastor James, except to imitate him as he imitates Christ. That's what Paul said, right, brother? Imitate your leaders as they imitate Christ. The focus should always be, I love what John the Baptist said. He's coming down over here and his disciples say, look, Jesus, this Jesus guy, John, he's baptizing there more than you are, and there's more crowds going after him than us now. And what did John say? I told you, boys. He must increase, I must decrease. When you go out of here this week, I don't want you speaking for 3 months, 4 months about how bad the preacher, the evangelist was. I want you to say, did you see what Jesus did? Did you see what Jesus did? Now notice the other part here though, kids. Get down here to the bottom. As a result, go down to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. There you go. Did I get there? Grow up in all aspects into Christ, from whom the whole body, now notice this, being fitted together and held together by every joint supplies according to the proper working of what? Each individual part. Now I want you to get something. I did some football team chapels, University of Oklahoma and Western State, and I love it. But one guy spoke after me at a chapel. And you know what he said? He said, guys, your job is to do your job so well that all the rest of the team can do their job. Don't try to do each other's job. You know what that means? We won't dig into it tonight, but 1 Corinthians 12 talks about a bunch of body parts, right? Okay, what does it say? He said, every one of us, when we accept Christ, we become part of his body here on earth. Okay, now what happens? Are you all the different parts of the body? Can you be Pastor James's job? Can he do your job? No. You see, some of us are hands. I love it. I love watching the people with the gift of service. They show up behind the scenes. They get there early. They set up the tables. You never see them. And then pretty soon, when everybody else is, they're over there putting away everything. And you turn around, Pastor, and you say, okay, let's see what... My time is impeachable. I've got to the point where I can turn around and everything's done. Because all the people that have that gift are doing it. But if I ask them to get up and preach, they look at me like, you've got 3 heads. What are you thinking? Because that's my gift. Others are out there being compassionate. Others are out there being tough. You know, sometimes we have to be tough and sometimes we have to be tender, and most of us aren't good at both, right? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I have a great video clip I show sometimes. It's with Bob Newhart, psychoanalyst. It's great. This lady comes in and, oh, I've got this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. And he looks at her and says, okay,
Stop it!
Well, I'm getting all these terrible relationships.
Well, stop it!
Well, and sometimes we need that person. And other times we need the person who comes out and puts their arm around your shoulder and says, you know how much God loves you. But it's tough to be both. So we need you to be tough, you to be tender. We need you to have service. We need you to preach. We need you to teach. We need you to exhort and you to encourage. And there's all these different gifts that we need, but it doesn't work unless you're doing your part. We all suffer. Now, some people think, well, I can do it on my own. I don't need to get committed to a body of believers. And I've been that way sometimes. And you know what those guys are like? They're like a hand on a table going like that. What good is a hand unless it's connected to an arm? What good's the arm unless it has an elbow working? What good's the elbow and the arm if the shoulder isn't working? What good is your foot if you're not attached to your leg? What good's your leg if it's not attached to a hip? What good, you see? I finally found my body part in the kingdom of God. I'm an armpit. But you know how important the armpit is? You're going to overheat without it. Every one of us has a part in the body of Christ. So the word tonight, guys, is this. First, are you born again? Jesus said, if you're not born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. If you haven't made a commitment to Jesus yet, tonight, every night we've seen people do this. Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday night, and tonight. Give your life to Christ. Pastor is here to help. Other leaders are here to help you. Make that commitment. Say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come in and make me clean. I'm going to let go of my sin. I'm going to turn away from my sin. And I'm going to commit my life to you and trust you to forgive me and yield my life to be Lord tonight. The next thing you have to do is show up for practice. Be here this week. Be here Sunday. Wherever you live, be in that church. Get committed. Go to that pastor and say, I don't know much, but put me to work. Go get involved. Put on your pads. Don't get beat up. Don't let every time somebody says, how are you doing today? Oh, pretty well under the circumstances. Well, what in the world are you doing under there? You don't have to be under the circumstances. You can rise above them by the power of the Holy Spirit and with your commitment to Jesus. Stand up for Christ. Live for Him. Let Him live His life through you. And then, like we said tonight, you are an individual, vital part of the team. We need you in the field. I've run across people over 30 that say they've done their part and they want to sit back. That's wrong. When are we done serving Christ and the body of Christ? You're over 30. I'm over 30. Pastor Jay, yeah. Guys, this afternoon, I talked to Bill Castney. You remember Mary Jane, Mary Ann Castney, and Bill had prostate cancer surgery 2 weeks ago. And I prayed with him. Bill has made a recommitment of his life to Jesus. And he wanted you all to know how much your prayers mean still to Marianne and to his family. Your prayers and your letters, your cards. But Marianne and what was her husband's name? Bill again, that's why I'm confused. They didn't quit. They served to the very end. You and I are called to serve to the very, very end. Don't get under the circumstances. Say, Lord, lift me up. People say, why do you raise your hands in church? There's two reasons I think of. What's the universal sign of surrender? Lord Jesus, I surrender all. And what's the other sign a little kid does when he does this? lift me up. So when I'm in church, you might see me. I try not to embarrass people, I don't, you know, but you might see me go, I surrender, Lord, and lift me up. Let him lift you up. Okay, are you ready to get on the field? Are you ready? Are you willing to get on the field? That's the challenge tonight. We need people on the field. No more bench sitters. No more people on the railing around the arena. We need help. There's a lost and dying world out there without Jesus. And you know who he's sending to them? Us. Will you stand with me? If you can. Stand if you can. If you can't, we understand that too. It's okay. God still sees you sitting down. And I do this every night, so get used to it. I want you to join hands across the center there. Just join hands with somebody. Don't leave anybody out. Grab Andy back there if you can, Jimmy. That's it. Kathy, you've got a spot right there. You know what? Just like this is the body of Christ. All of us joined together make one awesome team. We need you, and guess what? You need us. What would the quarterback, why does John Elway, when he was quarterback of the Broncos, take out all the offensive line for the biggest dinner they've ever had? Because if it weren't for them, John Elway would be toast. We need every one of you. You say, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have any abilities. Listen, you do. No matter who you are, we need you to help. Help your pastor. Talk to him. How can I help? We'll find a spot. Father, thank you so much for this awesome family, the body, the team, your team, your Super Bowl team, to minister to this awesome, needy world. Lord, there's a reason that when we got saved, you didn't leave us here. You didn't take us, I mean. You left us here for that reason, to share the grace of God with others. Now we pray, Lord, that you would take us individually. Take us, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, and thrust us into your harvest as a team, not individually, not lone rangers, but as a team. Lord, fill us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. Can we sing that together, guys? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now drop your hands for a moment. Let go of each other's hands. And once again, I never want to close a meeting without giving you an opportunity. If you don't know that your sins are forgiven, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that you have yielded your life to him as your Lord, then tonight's the night. You're not here by accident. God's calling you to come join the team. So as just as we pray right now, I'm going to ask that you slip your hand up if you are willing to confess your sins to Him, willing to trust Him, and willing to yield your life to Him, and willing to become part of His team. If you're doing that, I'm going to ask you, just while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just slip your hand up right now and say, that's me. I want the Savior. That's me. I want to be born again. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Anyone else? And now, may the God of hope grant you all joy in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and what do we say? Yeehaw! Amen. Come back tomorrow night. God bless you. Thank you.